Music and Booze with Mo is produced and distributed by Eats Drinks TV, a service of the Center for Culinary Culture, home of the Cocktail Collection, and First Reel Entertainment, and is available wherever fine podcasts can be heard. The Center for Culinary Culture, telling the story of food and drink, one taste at a time. Welcome to Music and Booze with Mo. I'm Mo Herms, and I've worked in the music industry most of my life, so have met some pretty amazing musicians over the years. I also love a good cocktail, and I've encountered some really interesting bartenders as well. It seems that there is a lot of crossover, so when I can, I like to talk to musicians and bartenders about music and booze. Join us at the bar, won't you? Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by The Mermaid, a cozy neighborhood bar with an aquatic flair in the Little Tokyo area of downtown LA. Open 7 days a week, featuring tropical cocktails and snacks, The Mermaid also has a daily happy hour from 5 to 8 p.m. Follow The Mermaid on Instagram at TheMermaidLA to hear about upcoming events and check them out at TheMermaidLA.com. Head to 428 East 2nd Street, Los Angeles, for a drink. Even though I hardly have a voice left at the moment, I was able to travel virtually to Birmingham, Alabama, so that we could talk to Allie Patton, a music journalist and bartender who happens to do her thing at the Pilcrow Cocktail Cellar. Let me say that again. Pilcrow Cocktail Center. I'm so sorry I sound like this, but I couldn't put this interview off because she loves music. She loves Dolly Parton, and she loves bourbon, and that makes her perfect for this podcast.
Hi, I'm Allie Patton. I am a bartender at Pilcrow Cocktail Cellar in Birmingham, Alabama. Mm-hmm. And I am also a music journalist, and yeah.
You're doing both right now. You're doing music journalism right now as well?
I am. Yes.
You are. Oh, it's those hustles, right? Both of them.
Always.
Which came first, the music journalism or the bartending?
I started bartending in school, in college. Mm-hmm. And I worked several service industry jobs to put myself through school. Mm-hmm. And I was learning to be a journalist.
Yeah.
So I guess they came
concurrently.
Hand, I guess.
I did something similar. I went to school for journalism as well and was put myself through by working at a candy shop.
Yeah.
So not quite as fun as bartending, but it has its own quirks.
So
I know I'm not complaining about managing a candy shop because I got to taste everything before we started selling it. So when you were bartending, what were your early bartending days like? What kind of places were you at?
Well, I started as a server. Mm-hmm. And I guess my first bar experience, I learned how to pour my first beer at this blues bar in Alabaster, Alabama. And I always came home smelling like fried chicken.
Isn't that always the way?
And then I learned like the actual act of like pouring and mixing drinks at this place called Black Market in Five Points, where again, I was a server. And yeah, but there was like a big bar presence. I've always worked in that kind of like bar restaurant scenario. And yeah.
And was it Five Points, that's out in Alabama as well?
Yes, that's in Birmingham. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I thought. I mean, I'm sounding like such a jerk right now because I'm so West Coast, East Coast, and going across the middle, it's like, oh, New Orleans, Tennessee, yeah. You know, it's like everybody goes to the same places. And I'm so excited to talk to someone from Birmingham or out in there because it's a whole new area. And I know that Pilcrow is one of those spots
yeah.
that everyone wants to stop to. So you made your way there eventually, which is cool. But you yeah. went back and forth. You left for a while though.
I did. I mm-hmm. actually just got back to the South from, I was living in Washington State and mm-hmm. I moved back about 3 months ago.
So back home and back to bartending. So, yeah. So when you first started out though, what were some of the lessons learned? You know, was this was more of a more high volume kind of thing, or, you know, do you feel it was just like serving people's beers and shots?
Yeah, it was a lot of like slinging beers to begin with. I, especially early on, but I got to this like really nice place out in Capitola, California, because I continue to bartend on the West Coast.
Yeah.
And in Capitola, it was this like really nice, like fine dining experience where you had your regulars at the bar, but there was also like this influx of like newcomers coming in and a lot of vacationers, because that's just like the spot to go when you're on the Central Coast.
Yeah, it's a pretty beach town. I mean, Capitola is a really pretty beach town. So I can see people going there and kind of chilling out. When you said that you had picked up your cocktail, when you started learning kind of more about cocktails, and where was that again? Remind me.
That was at Black Market.
That was at Black Market, yeah. So when you started doing that, were you kind of like, oh, this is kind of a whole new thing for me? Or did you kind of want to ease into that at some point? You know, some people like have this goal of becoming like a mixologist or something when they start, but some folks kind of discover that, oh, this is interesting. You know, it's a little more detailed. It's a little more fun. So, or were you just thrown into it?
I don't know. I was always like curious about it. Cause I had seen the movie Cocktail with Tom.
Right.
And I had always like aspired to like flip in a bottle. But I don't know. It was more of like a fascination. Like I was, as a server, I was awestruck, like watching the other bartenders behind the bar. And I was just like, it would be so much fun to do that, to be there. Cause it's just like Cocktail. Like they're just like Tom Cruise to me. When I finally got there, it's a lot of fun. And I have
Were you like Tom Cruise though? Were you flipping bottles?
No, I'm the smartest person on the planet. I can't walk and chew gum at the same time.
I know. I was going to say, if I even tried that once, I would just drop everything. And there would be so much glass behind the bar. They'd be very upset with me. So you went to California though. Well, tell me about your journalism side. I mean, because you were studying that. So when did you start really getting into doing journalism as a career when you were trying to really like break through there?
I had always wanted to be a journalist, like from day one, like since I could pick up a magazine.
Yeah.
Throughout college, I had all these like little internships that like would give me a little taste of it. Mm-hmm. But I guess I officially dove headfirst into journalism with the marketing job that I got in California with music marketing, and that doesn't really scream journalism, but
you have to have the writing skills for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, catering to the artists and doing all that. I mean, I guess that's really, that was my first real like tangible, I'm a journalist, you know, like people are reading what I'm writing.
But you went into music journalism. That's what you kind of wanted to focus on, right?
Absolutely.
That was your jam. And so why did you want to do that? Cause I have my reasons. So I want to hear yours.
I don't know. Music is everything. I just, I wanted to like, cause I know that like, I'm not the only person that feels that same way, but I wanted to like put it to words, like that feeling and the power that music has and the power that it gives you and how it can just like like score the perfect moment. Like I wanted to put that into words. And I guess because I wanted to figure it out myself, like what is this thing that has such a hold over me, and like that like I don't know. Am I like it? I'm.
Yeah, did you write it like in high school for the high school paper too and things like
I
that?
Did.
Yeah. So did I. Same thing. And so, what was the first article you remember writing, even way back then? Because I mean, I remember I'm older than you, so I remember writing reviews for like Oingo Boingo's Dead Man Party, and I hated it. I was like the only person who hated it in my high school, and I totally wrote the thing about how I hated it. And how they were so much better before. And I was totally like the pitchfork kid or something in high school. But for you, like, what was it that you were excited to write about when you first started writing?
This was for my college paper. In freshman year in college, I was also on the newspaper, and the pumpkins are gone.
I know. I'm sorry. I changed my background so you can see my music background now. just for anybody because this is audio, I have my Halloween background up still. And now normally my office has all kinds of music posters in it and everything. And I'm like, we're talking about music. I should have the music posters up and not the pumpkins anymore. But yes, back to I want to hear what you wrote about, what you were excited to write about.
I can't remember. Okay. So it was freshman year of college, and I was on the college newspaper, and it was just like around campus stuff, like like hitting the bricks, like what's going on campus.
Yeah.
But I begged the editor to let me write a show review, because me and my best friend would always like get the cheap tickets and go to all the shows in like a 20-mile radius. And I like begged the editor, like, can I write this review of this show that has like nothing to do with the campus? Like, he's just like, let me get it in the paper. And he did. And so
And what was it for? What was the show?
I think it was for Father John Misty.
Oh, he's so fun live too. Oh my God. A friend of mine called him the Dean Martin of indie rock when he first came out, because he has that whole swagger and dancing and all that stuff. So much fun. I love that. That's so cool. So did he like let you write anything more like that, or did you have to stick to bands playing like in the local pub or something after that?
I think that I wrote that and it didn't make it in the paper. I believe he let me write a movie review after that, and it got in the paper.
Well, when did you realize that you wanted to write about music and maybe like interview musicians and artists? How old do you think you were when that happened? Was there a specific artist that inspired you?
There was a specific moment, I think. I was 14 years old, and I was listening to the Abbey Road medley.
Oh my God. I DJ, and sometimes, I used to DJ on radio, college radio, and then outside of that. And when I did that DJing, sometimes my bathroom break, if I needed some time, or if I was just in the mood, I would play the Abbey Road Beatles medley. Because it's so, the whole thing, I'm like, you can't split this up. It's not cool.
Yeah, exactly. Split it up. Exactly. But it was, I had inherited Abbey Road on CD, and I was listening to it on my boombox. And it's like When Golden Slumbers Slips Into Carry That Weight. And it was the first time I had ever heard this, and like goosebumps. Like I just remember like being shook. Like
that's amazing. And you were 14 and you felt that way. And that's like old people music at this point, right?
I knew that like nothing would be the same after that. Everything would be so different after that. To get back homeward. Once there was a way to get back home. Sleep pretty darling, do not cry. And I will sing a lullaby. Boy, you're gonna carry that weight. Carry that weight.
you were working in music marketing, what kind of artists were you getting to work with at that time? Because that's now the career side. So you're getting handed things you have to work with.
It was a job that I fell into. And to this day, I have no idea why I was given the job. I think because I came to the interview with like so much like, I'm going to do this job and there's no one who is going to love it more than me. And there's no one who's going to like be as passionate as me. And I just came with all this like blind ambition. But I have gotten to work with Sammy Hagar from Van Halen. Mm-hmm, he was mm-hmm. one of our big clients. REO Speedwagon. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Cronin from REO Speedwagon mm-hmm, specifically. Mm-hmm. And Los Lobos, great band.
Oh my God. Los Lobos is there. I'm from California, especially I live in Los Angeles. Right. And to me, they are the definition of what I think Los Angeles music is.
Absolutely.
They have it all. They're an amazing band. So that's cool. You get to work with them too.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. Just a bunch of incredible artists like Colin Hay from Men at Work. Mm-hmm, and, mm-hmm.
So it was all these like kind of older artists that you were there working with, which it must be kind of fun because they're very established. You have a lot to work with there.
Yes. And they're all so wonderful. And yeah. They're just such a joy to work with.
You must have some dream artists that you would love to work with. Who are some of they?
Oh, shoot. Dolly Parton.
Oh, yes. You told me that you have a longstanding, undying love for Dolly Parton. And you know what?
I have her face tattooed on my arm.
Oh, my God, you do. And that is a classic photo, too. That's such a beautiful photo of her. Dolly Parton, though, it's kind of, she's a phenomenon.
Yeah.
I feel like when Dolly Parton passes away, the entire world is going to crumble in some way because she's like a pillar of the international community somehow.
Yeah.
So, but you know, for me, I'm out here in California. So my Dolly Parton is informed by the fact that my mother loved her. And my mother was from South America. She's Colombian and she loved Dolly Parton. And right. She's everywhere. And the fact that I've always had a lot of gay friends. And there's a place in Los Angeles that Dolly Parton used to come to all the time in Silver Lake that was an old school Mexican restaurant where all the servers were these gay Mexican guys. And she was there so much that there was a black velvet painting of her that she would always come sit at the bar and say like, well, I like looking at myself in the black light. You know, that was like the joke with everyone. And so it's like, everyone has such a different relationship with her. What is your Dolly story?
It's a thing being from the South. I think it's such a sphere of just conservative beliefs. And as a woman, things are really expected of you and thrust upon you. And there's a lot of tradition in being from the South.
Mm-hmm.
But as a kid, Dolly Parton, like she broke this mold for me as like, and I'm 5 feet even. She's like 5'2", but she has the personality of someone who's like 7 feet tall.
She really does.
She wears herself so, the way that she carries herself, and she just like, she doesn't apologize for who she is. And she's the glitter, she's the color, she's the glamour, she's the big hair, mm-hmm. the high heels. And that she's just everything that I want to be. I want to be like proud to be who I am. And that's not always what you grow up learning in the South. Mm-hmm. It's, you can't be big and bolsterous and gaudy and just wonderful, you know?
Well, then you have to give me a tip on, I have some Dolly Parton, but as a very, very informed fan, what are just two albums that you think everyone should own? Yeah, I know. What are they called? What are they called? It's like, I just put you on the quiz show and you have to answer the question. But there have to be at least, I mean, she has so many records too. There have to be at least two of them that everybody should have. You know, or one, you could just do one.
There's there's a Christmas album that she did with Kenny Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate Christmas music. Like, I'm not a person, but her Christmas album, it has Hard Candy Christmas on it.
Okay. It's that one. Yeah.
House in Texas. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one. It's so cheesy, but you have to own it.
You have to own it for the holiday music. There you go. What is your favorite Dolly Parton song, or does that change?
Okay, Dolly Parton has a song for every mood that I'm in. She has a song for every moment. Mm-hmm. Like, if I need to go for a run on the treadmill, it's 9 to 5.
Yeah, that's true. My mom used to teach jazzercise, and that song was part of the routine. It was definitely in there.
And if I need like a pick me up, it's Light of the Clear Blue Morning. If I'm like feeling down, it's my go-to.
That's a good one. It's a beautiful one.
She just narrates my whole life.
Yeah. What was that movie? There was a movie that came out a year or two ago. I think it was Dumplin'.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And they did something like that. There was a Dolly Parton song for like every mood in that movie and all of this. And I thought that was so great that they were able to sound. I know it's one of her productions anyway. Right. It was so perfectly soundtracked with her music from this huge span of years. I mean, she's been performing for what, 50 years, I think.
Yeah.
Since like the 60s, more than that. Oh my God. That's crazy to think of.
A child. Yeah.
Yeah. So she was like, what, when did she start? She was like 14 or.
I think she started 16? In like church, like a very religious background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So crazy.
Young in the
That's
choir.
Amazing. Yeah. She is a great role model. I think for many, I'm really happy that she's been allowed to exist, you know, given the vacuum of what can happen to women in certain parts of the country. I mean, all over the country, but yeah, the South is not easy on the ladies, I know. So have you ever, to get back to the drink part, since you are cocktailing and working, you know, behind the bar like that, have you ever been able to create a Dolly inspired drink? They're out there. I have had one. I've had at least one. It was in Las Vegas. It was a Dolly inspired cocktail. And I think it was something, I feel like it had apple cider in it.
Okay.
And there was something pink, but it was named Bird was in the title. It was named after some song she has with Bird in the title. I can't remember, but it was a while ago, but I do remember like they explained why they had chosen this, and it was Dolly Parton inspired. So I wasn't sure if you've had that opportunity to do something.
I haven't,
like that.
But I'm thinking about it now.
What would you put in it?
Oh gosh, probably like passion fruit. She's so fiery.
Ooh.
Oh, I don't know. It might be something spicy because she's so.
She is pretty spicy. Yeah. Peppercorns. That would be like a habanero. That's more local.
Pink peppercorns. Brainstorm.
I know, right? She's like formulating right now. Well, back to the bartending thing then. When you started getting into that kind of more crafty cocktail side of things, you were, I'm sure, learning more about spirits, because before that you got in there and you're just slinging, you know, vodka cranberries and gin and tonics and things like that. So what's been an exciting thing for you to learn about in this spirits realm?
Yeah. Working at Pilcrow, the bar in Birmingham that I'm with now, that's my first time really like in the
diving
world
in.
Craft cocktails. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of like lighting orange peels on fire.
I cannot master that skill. You have to get that oil out of the rind so that it'll light and give that little spark. And I'm just like, I try that and it never works. I'm not a professional bartender. I've done one bartending gig in my whole life and my partners forced me to. And I was like, I'm only doing really simple things. I will make things I can stir and then you can have it. You know?
Yes, absolutely.
I can do some shaking and some stirring. Don't make me do anything fancy. But you have to be, now that you're tasting more and learning more about, excuse me, like the variations on rums or like the mezcal smokiness. What are you having fun playing with?
oh gosh, I'm just having fun. I've never, it's, Pilcrow is definitely like a tequila forward bar.
Oh, really?
And,
Lucky for your time in California then, huh?
but they do everything. We do everything. Mm-hmm. And I think rum is something that I have not had much experience with. I've never liked it because it was always just like in college, it was like rum and cokes.
Yep. Yep.
Throw that up once, like you're done with rum.
Yeah. Yeah. And rum is one of those ones that people always say, oh my God, I threw up once with rum, and they never want to drink it again. Right. And then you get older and you'll find there are so many different rums.
Right.
So many different flavor profiles within the world of rum. It's like exhausting. So obviously you're down there in the South, so you're close to whiskey territory.
Absolutely. And I've always been a big fan of bourbon. Bourbon's mm-hmm. always been mm-hmm. my thing.
Yeah. So. Is that your, when you come home and sit down and chill out, sip a little bourbon neat?
It's always just like, if I'm home, it's always just going to be a beer. Like I'm just a simple kind of lady. But yeah, scotch and like bourbons are definitely like my mm-hmm. go-to if I'm in a bar. And mm-hmm.
Something that. Like that. Well, what's a fun drink since you're just really getting into the crafty thing? I'm sure you've had opportunity now to, because it's been a little bit since you've been at Pilcrow. So I'm sure you've had opportunity now to make up some really fun things. Do you have some favorites that you like making for people?
I've started making this like sour cherry Manhattan variation.
Ooh. With that sounds like yummy.
Cherry jam, and then I top it with a little kava, like a little bubbly topper.
Fun. Really oh, that's nice. That sounds really nice. That's a way to sneak some spirits into somebody, right?
One gentleman told me that it was wonderful.
That's awesome. So you are getting that chance. And so tell me a little bit about Pilcrow.
Pilcrow is... it's so wonderful. I don't know. It's just so classy.
Yeah. It's a classy cocktail joint.
It's classy and it's dark and it's downstairs.
I was going to say, cause it's like a cocktail lounge, right? So you have to go down to it.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it's downstairs in a basement and a lot of people call it a speakeasy and it's not like that's, that was so 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's just like really, it's cool in there. It's dark, low ceilings, mm-hmm. like sexy couches. I don't know. It's just,
so it's a good date place. Nice date place for people. Yeah. Right? Yeah. That's nice.
And I just
so you must feel so sophisticated when you're down there, you know, working and everything. Very different from the beach vibes of, Capitola.
Definitely.
So, well, if you think about it though, once you master that whole lighting the orange peel on fire, which you've probably already done, that's like this model or this current version of the Tom Cruise cocktail move.
Right. You know? I'm becoming my own Tom Cruise.
Yes, totally. And what is your soundtrack? You know, what would it be? I'm sure that you guys have a soundtrack there that is suitable for the mood and everything, but if it was up to you, what would you be playing in that space while you're doing your fancy craft cocktail bartender moves?
It's a great question.
Cause I'm sure you'd want to take over that playlist at some point. Yeah. You're moving. It's in your head. I see you moving.
Something like, just Dusty Springfield playing on the background.
Ooh, that's good. Well, actually you sent me your playlist and it has this really cool kind of old, kind of gritty bluesy kind of vibe to it and everything. And I saw that and I was like, this sounds way older than I know she is. So, and I know you've worked with older artists and all that kind of stuff. So it's interesting to me like that, those choices, because this was your dive into the bar kind of song. Right. So do you think of, and I off the top of my head, I can't remember some of the stuff you put on there. You're going to have to refresh my memory, but is that stuff for your like dive bar sitting or that's your drinking music? Like,
so that playlist is a concept, I guess.
I like it. I like it.
It's more like I love dive bars like that. I love them. I think there's a true art to the dive bar.
There is. There really is.
And it can be hit or miss sometimes, but when you find a quality dive, you know you found it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that playlist is more like, it's more like a feeling. Like you wouldn't necessarily hear those songs in a dive bar, but it's like, I think I wrote it in the little like descriptor of the playlist. And it was just like gritty songs to like, that are reminiscent of the beautifully unglamorous dive bar.
Yep. Yep.
And that's the key. They're just like, they're simple, they're unglamorous, like they're gritty. There's like this like lonesomeness to being in a dive bar, but there's also like, it's full of, they're just honest. They're just honest places, no frills. They're not trying to be anything. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's what a lot of those songs on the playlist are. They just are. They're not trying to be anything.
That's awesome. I love that. So that means if you had your dive bar, your dream dive bar, that would be the soundtrack.
That would be the soundtrack.
Yeah. Well, then what is it that you order in your dream dive bar?
Oh, beer and a shot.
Yep. And a shot of bourbon, right?
Yes.
And what kind of bourbon is it going to be?
Oh, for sure. It would probably be Wild Turkey. Is that gross?
No, not at all. It's funny. Last year for Thanksgiving, my husband and I had Wild Turkey. You were just like, you know, it was pandemic Thanksgiving. So we're picking up turkey from somewhere and we can't go anywhere. We just pick it up from a restaurant, bring it home. And he went to some liquor store and bought the little bottles. Yes. You know, we got the little minis of Wild Turkey. So we could like have that sitting there next to our turkey. And we're like, let's do it right. There's nothing wrong with it at all. So, well, that's fantastic. I wanted to ask you one more question. And that is, I want to ask you like I already asked you, I think would be Dolly Parton. I was going to say, who's your dream interview, but it has to be Dolly Parton, right?
It has to be. Yeah.
And what I want to know, some of the questions that you would ask her.
Okay. After I got done crying and through the sobs, I would ask her after I've showed her my tattoo and thoroughly asked her out, I would probably ask to try on her shoes. I'm sure we're the same size, right?
You are small. So I was going to say, you guys must have tiny feet. I'll cross
10.
I know, right? I'll cross my fingers for you that you can try on her shoes. Let's see how well you do in those stilettos. I mean,
but I would probably ask her how she's managed to like just crank out so much music, but so much different music across the board. Like she hits on so many different styles, and a lot of her influences are very across the board. I want to know how she like manages to just crank out so much fresh, new music.
How she continues to be inspired. Yeah, totally. Amazing.
She always just slaps.
Well, you keep cranking it out behind the bar. So do that. And are you getting to write now that you're back in Birmingham? Are you having opportunity to write since you're there, or are you getting back into it? Yeah.
I have a piece coming out with The Independent later this week, I think, or early next week. So,
and it's a music piece?
It is. It's a,
yay.
It's a feature arguing how Texas has become America's last true music scene.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. So, all right. I think we could wrap this up. And so tell people where they can find you. Now, do you actually have like a website where you keep your writing or anything? Or
I have a professional portfolio, but it's more hey, give me a job.
Yes. we have to tell people how they can read this, because I actually would love to read that article about that Texas article when it comes out. It's coming out. Not quite yet.
Not quite yet. End of this week.
At the end of this week in November, 2021, this article will be in the Birmingham Independent.
The Independent.
Or it's just called UK. The Independent. The Independent UK. Yeah. Oh my God. You're writing for that Independent.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's amazing. Wow. I just assumed it was like a local thing, but no, that's incredible. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
I'm sure you'll post it like on your Instagram or something when it's available.
Okay. And my Instagram can be found at Allie Patton, A-L-L-I-P-A-T-T-O-N. No spaces, no underscores, no nothing.
Straight up Allie Patton. And when you're not writing, people can find you at Pilcrow Cocktail Lounge in Birmingham, Alabama.
Cool.
And I'm sure they have an Instagram too. Do you remember what that is off the top of your head?
It's, oh shoot.
It's like Pilcrow Bar or something like that.
Pilcrow Cocktail.
Something like that. Pilcrow Cocktail. Just look for under Pilcrow Cocktail and you'll find it. Well, don't go away just yet, but thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate talking to you, and it's nice to know another music journo, although I haven't done that myself in many years, but that's where I started. So it's very nice. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much to Allie for doing this today. I really appreciate it. And she was just so fun to talk to. And if only you guys could have seen that Dolly Parton tattoo. It's really amazing. Also, again, on Instagram, you can find Allie at Allie Patton, P-A-T-T-O-N, one word. And Pilcrow Cocktail. Their Instagram is just Pilcrow Cocktail. So go find them there. I don't think I can talk to you guys much longer. My voice isn't going to last. I made it just through the interview and just through this. So before I go, make sure that you go check out her Spotify playlist, which was the If This Dive Bar Could Sing. It's on the Facebook page. I have it listed there on the Podomatic page. It's over on Spotify, and it's really, really good. So hopefully next time we all talk, I'll have more of a voice. In the meantime, any of you in the South, please go to Birmingham and visit Allie in that beautiful cocktail cellar. Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by Barkeeper, a head shop for cocktail lovers, located at 614 North Hoover Street in Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Stop by for barware, vintage glassware, a carefully curated collection of spirits, and one of the most impressive selections of bitters anywhere. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook for information regarding spirits tastings. That's barkeepersilverlake.com and also in the Virgil Village neighborhood of Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Thank you for tuning in to our barroom chats on Music and Booze with Mo. For more info about today's guest, or if you want to connect with me, check out my Facebook page, Mo Herms. Please subscribe to the podcast and feel free to tell all your friends about it. While you're there, give the show a rating and a review. It really helps to get the word out. If you want to hear the playlists our guests have curated, search She Be Mo on Spotify, S-H-E-B-M-O. Find pictures of the interviewees and the cool stuff they create on the Music and Booze with Mo Instagram account. Lower your expectations and join us at the bar. Till next time, cheers.